And we are on.
We're on.
Hey, welcome to Comic Culture, the podcast that talks all things comics, the culture of comics, Chris.
The culture of comics.
Yeah, I'm Walt.
I'm Chris.
And we're here like we are every week, I guess, right?
Every week. We're here every week.
Come rain or shine or sleet,
nor snow.
We're here every week.
We're going to give you that podcast.
That's right. We're going to get out of the house one way or another.
Whether we like it or not.
Yeah, whether the wives like it or not, we're out of the house.
Well, they'll probably like it.
Yeah, fair. Hey, today, Chris come up with a good topic today. As a while back, we were talking about why we love collecting comics.
And how we should champion collecting comics.
But then Chris says, you know, well, we should do a show on what we hate about collecting
comics. What really
comics.
Annoys us about collecting comics.
Why, what we put up with
right.
to collect comics.
Right.
What we ignore. What we sweep under the rug.
Exactly.
What we pretend. What elephants in the room are we are pretending not to see?
Well, yeah, absolutely.
So that's a great topic.
Okay.
Because, and I don't even know when to start. So you emailed me earlier today. With it, and I go, I'm not making a list.
No, don't make a list.
I'm not making a list. I'm going to try to, you formulate some stuff in your head.
I have a list.
Do you have a list?
Yeah, I have a list.
I'm not making a list. I wanted to try to, as we're talking, to see if something can trigger something else,
Fair enough.
So that's the way I'm gonna go with this. I'm going to try to
approach it. So, first things first, though, we're going to talk about the fact that we're drinking a Lancaster Bomber Ale today. This is a wonderful ale from British. It's from Britain. Hey, I say.
What's it called?
Lancaster Bomber.
My goodness,
you know,
I like it.
I liked it because, you know, here in Hamilton, we have a Lancaster Bomber.
Right.
So I thought, maybe...
Hamilton, Ontario is the home to the Warplanes Museum.
Warplanes
Heritage Museum. And we have, I think, one of the only two or three
I think there's two, yeah.
Functioning, flying Lancaster Bombers.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic. It sometimes flies up and around my house.
It does, yeah.
Yeah, so, and I'm thinking, I don't want it flying anywhere near my house. That old hunk of bolts, anything can come out.
You never know what can happen.
At any time, right? So, but I just like hearing that old
I often think about, imagine, seeing, 40 of them in the sky.
Coming through. Yeah. Man, it was a different time. What I like about this can, Chris, is got kind of like a fuselage look to it.
I know,
It's really good.
So far I like the beer.
Yeah, it's a good beer.
It's a good beer. It's a little more stronger than I usually like it.
It's an amber ale.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means. Blonde, right?
Yeah, blonde, yeah.
Okay.
And, it's a little stronger. It's at 4.4 alcohol content.
It passes the test. Well, 4.4. I mean, some of those Central European beers are 5.
I know. So,
remember, what was that beer they served at the LCBO, again, for our out-of-town listeners, Liquor Control Board of Ontario? What was that? Brador? Remember, it was 7% alcohol.
Oh, I don't remember that.
It's like a wine.
Yeah. Well, Innocent Gun is 6.9 or 6.5 or something like that. That's a good beer.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And
see if you can get them to send some down.
I'll see what I can do for you.
Sure.
Yeah, I'll see what I can do for you.
Okay.
Anyways.
Yeah, it's a fine beer.
It's fine beer.
And it's going to fuel the show. It's going to help us talk about what we hate about collecting comics.
Yeah.
Is that the right thing?
Hate is a strong word.
Right.
I liked what you said, put up with. Because we still collect.
Uh-huh.
And begrudgingly, we put up with some of these things but we don't necessarily like.
Okay. Mr. List Boy.
Okay.
I'm going to start with you. You got some stuff.
I got all kinds here. What do you want me to start with?
I'll start with something.
Okay. Variants.
Yeah.
So I used to like it in the back in the day when there might be, a few variants or even one variant for a particular book.
Right.
Or it was sort of a rarity that a book would have a variant.
Yeah.
And then you'd have, maybe one or two books that would have, it would be a special book and it might have two or three different variants, it might have a foil cover or something like that.
Right.
And then then all of a sudden, I remember, I think it was Gen 13 number 1 came out, and it had 13 variants.
Ooh.
And everybody was like, whoa!
Yeah, I want all 13 of them!
Right!
Right, yeah.
And now, I think we talked about one of this on one of our other shows, where, what was it? I think it was
Superman.
Superman was
Man of Steel.
Man of Steel was the first one.
Yeah, yeah.
But then we talked about which one had the most, and I think it was like Walking Dead.
Right, the ones with the store.
Yeah, that's right. Spider-Man had
Where stores can mail in and have their store stamp and stuff. Which I don't really count, but you have to. You have to count.
So especially if you're a completist.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Now, okay, those kind of events, I don't even mind as much because, yeah, I'm not going to collect all those different store variants.
Yeah.
But it's when it's, you know, it's really no reason for it. It's just, hey, issue 23, mm-hmm. and now you have the ratio variant where you have maybe 1 in 25.
1 in 100.
1 in 100, right. 1 in 50, yeah. 1 in 200.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or you get the ones, I remember there were some variants where it would be, like, I can't remember what it was, where... I think only like 16 of them were made because it was like 1 in 5,000 or something like that.
Right, right. But then again, those would be super scarce. But then again, like the publisher, like Marvel or something like that, they're smart because they go, oh, they'll pay through the nose to get, you know, Adam Hughes
right.
to draw the cover for the 1 in 100 variant.
Right.
So, I mean, you got, I don't know, 22 subs for a subscribers for that title,
yeah.
All of a sudden, you don't even know why, but you're ordering 100 of that.
Right, exactly.
Because you know that the cost of those 78 might be, I don't know, $3 each. So you look at, so you charge a guy $200 for the variant.
Right.
But you can't. Some guy will pay.
Well, some people will, but some people won't. Because
Jeff seems to be working for them. And then you have your back room is just littered with stuff you can't sell because you've already sold the variant.
Right.
And what the heck do you do with the, you know, 63 unused
extra copies? It's those variants that I don't like. And even the ones where, like, DC is, you know, does it every month. They have the regular issue and then they have the cardstock variant, which,
uh-huh.
you know, generally has a, I hate to say it, but a better cover.
Right.
And they charge $1 more for it because it's cardstock. So now all of a sudden you're paying a little bit more money for a book that you were already collecting.
Right.
So
right.
variance is my big thing. I'm really getting tired of variance.
Okay, variance. Okay. I'm going to go. We'll go 1, 1, 1, 1.
Okay.
Now, if I say something that's on your list and you can't say
I'm going to cross it off.
Yeah, you cross it off. I'm going to go with, excuse me, and probably, I don't even know if I can say that it's today, but I think I'm going to go with the fact that for most of my life, I had to keep it a secret other than the people that collect comics in the comic community.
Right.
It wasn't a thing a grown-ass man bragged about at work.
No.
That, you know, wasn't comic-related work.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
Or your other circle, your jock circle of friends.
Oh, yeah.
Or your preppy circle of friends. Like, I got all these circle of friends.
you have a preppy circle of friends?
That is the first thing that came to my mind. I don't know why that came to my mind.
Yeah, the jock one, maybe.
Yeah,
but,
maybe. All the, you know, the Casanova circle of friends.
Your harem.
So, that's right. And so I never bragged about collecting comics. They couldn't give two craps about my collecting comics.
No.
I even, you know, especially in the earlier days, I made sure I didn't let anybody know I
Absolutely.
Comics, especially the ladies.
Well, yeah.
My goodness, can you imagine, you know...
You would have been...
Hey, so what do you do? What are your interests? You know, you'd always say, oh, you know, walking on the beach and watching romantic movies.
Yeah.
You know, if you said comic collecting, it's click.
Yeah.
Hello?
Well, you know, if you had told them that, you would have been me in high school.
That's right. There you go. I'm wondering why I can't get any dates.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Geez.
So, Chris, where do you work? At a comic book store.
At a comic book store. What are your interests? I love Captain America.
Hello.
Yeah. So keeping it a secret,
right,
was an issue.
Right.
I don't know about today. Would you think today?
No,
I think today
it's completely
becoming,
different.
Yeah, maybe the last 5 years or so. You know, I don't mean acceptable. Listen, I mean it was always been acceptable.
Sure.
But you know, there was some sort of, I don't want to say childish stigma, but not nerdish stigma, when nerdish stigma was not the best thing for your social standing.
I would say in the last 10 years.
10 years?
You get a show like Big Bang Theory really seemed to help propel nerdism out of the proverbial, based mother's basement.
Yeah, I think maybe it's even, Chris, I think it's maybe it's even like a, they just had you know, my friends just had like zero interest in it.
Well, there's that too.
So, you just didn't go there, right? Right. Whereas now, you know, because they're aware, sure. They'll ask you stuff.
Oh yeah.
See, well, you know, blah, 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 right? And it's like, oh, now you
come. Now you come to me, guys.
Anyway, so for me, I would say having to keep it a secret,
right?
In a way, for much of my,
I think that's an extremely valid point.
Uh-huh.
But luckily, I think that's something that's changed.
Right. Okay, what do you got next?
All right. I know you're not going to agree with me because this is both a good problem and a bad problem.
Right.
How comics have exploded in the last 5 years.
Value-wise. Right. Yes.
It's a good problem for those that have them.
Uh-huh.
It's a terrible problem for those that don't.
Right. Absolutely right.
And I think, I don't think that the jump in the prices is warranted. If you look at the last 30 years of comic collecting,
right.
It's the last five. If you looked at one of those graphs, it's going to
be the last one. You know?
It's going to be the skyrocketing on those graphs, right? Like, it's just crazy.
I know.
You know?
You're right.
So, am I happy? Sure, because I have some.
Right.
But
you don't have enough.
You never have enough.
Right, yeah.
But you don't have all the ones you want.
Right.
So
for a collector, it's not a good thing.
It's not a good thing for people trying to get into collecting.
Right.
You know, you think about somebody who's just starting in as a hobby, and as a bit of an investment and some fun, and not just for the reading purposes. But now they're getting into it, thinking that maybe they can, you know, save them. And well, where do they start? They're going to have to buy new issues. And
I mean, I don't mean this in a negative way, but when you're phoning your buddies, saying, "Oh my God, I just like the biggest score ever. I just got a She-Hulk number one."
Yeah.
Right? You know, 9-8.
Yeah.
Right? Which, you know, for a young guy right now starting out, it's a big score.
Absolutely.
But, you know, old timers like me and you, it's like, oh my God. Like,
oh yeah.
Poor kids, you know? Like,
yeah.
They're celebrating picking up a She-Hulk number one.
Yeah.
That's their world.
Right? That's right.
Yeah, you know, we've talked about this before too, right? So, if you're a reseller like me, then it's almost like a hot housing market.
Right.
The stuff you have is worth more, and then you sell it for more, and then you got to go out and buy.
But then you got to buy
the
more.
Other stuff for more. But you're kind of always working on the same margin.
Right.
You're always trying to make, I don't know, 10, 30, 20 points on big books.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? You're trying to, you know, buy it for $1,000, sell for $1,200,
yep.
whatever. But now you're buying it for $2,000, trying to sell for $2,400.
Right.
So it's the same thing, right? Whereas the hoarders are the winners.
Oh, we've talked about that before.
Yeah, we've talked about that before. The hoarders, all those people our age and a little older
that have never sold,
have been collecting and just adding to their collection. They are the winners. The losers, if you can call it that, are the people that have had to sell for their daughter's wedding, for their kids' university. I mean, that's an investment too, so
sure.
I don't mean that in a bad
way.
In terms of comic value, right?
I sold to help pay down my, when I bought a condo.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was my down payment. Yep. So that was also an investment.
Right, in which you eventually sold to help buy your house.
Right.
Which now is worth a ton of money.
Right. So it's all investments.
Right. I see that. The values are troubling to collecting.
Right.
Yeah, I would agree.
Right.
I would agree.
It's
but like I said, the only thing I would say there is just adjust your collecting.
Right.
You know? Don't collect AF-15s, invest in them. Collect in, you know, Web of and Spectacular and just have some fun. Try to pick something that you enjoy collecting,
yep.
right?
Yeah.
But the other stuff now is almost beyond collecting.
That's all purely investing now.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what? Okay. So that was mine. What's your number two?
Okay. Well, I'm not doing it in any particular order, but mine would be. The buying and selling of them always made The interaction, the tension and the interaction with trying to buy a book off somebody
right.
has always been an uncomfortable thing. I'm a reseller,
sure.
so
yeah.
can you imagine for people that aren't resellers?
Yeah, right? yeah.
And because over the years, God, because I could, you and I could write books on the type of character.
Oh yeah.
You sometimes you're accosted like some. It's like sometimes it's like it's all actually tiring.
You know? oh yeah, it is.
So you're trying to finish your run and you find a guy and it's like okay, oh he's got night nurse number 3 and I got 1, 2, and 4.
Yeah.
And so you call the guy and it's like, oh yeah, this thing's mint. I want $800.
yeah.
It's easy worth 1,000.
yeah.
It's like it's almost like you want to go. Do I even want to start?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Do I even
want
to try?
And you know what? There's been lots of times when I'm sure you've been at a show, because I've been at a show,
yeah.
where somebody's done that, and I'm like, I just walk away.
That's right, exactly
I,
it.
I can't
exactly
even
it.
Be bothered with this
exactly
guy.
It. Like that really hard sell or the hard, oh, this thing's worth $1,000,000. It's like, what grade is it? Oh, it's like... really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's that? Can you send me a pic, right?
No,
I can't send you a pic.
Yeah, the water or you don't.
Yeah, yeah. So, or the one guy, I went to a show, and it's like, I wasn't collecting, it was more for investing, but it's like, this is the 35-cent Star Wars, I want $10,000. And it was that dumb reprint one, you know,
oh,
that
yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
But it's like, he was so in your face,
yeah.
obnoxious, that I was so tired.
Yeah.
Yeah, I go, yeah, I'm not interested.
Yeah,
rather than say, I should have. Yeah. I regret that. Because what if a kid walked up and gave him $6,000?
Yeah.
Right? That was dumb. That was dumb on my part. But I was just exhausted.
You should have corrected him.
Yeah, I should have corrected him. But I don't know. So I've had, like, when I was... because I collect the romance books and stuff. And I've had guys bring me books. And it's like, well, I know you collect romance. These are all, like, beautiful. And he brings me, like, you know, 8 books, and they're all water damaged. And it's like, and you got it for me. But now I'm in a position where you're coming on strong.
Yeah.
Now there's, like, tension, right?
Right.
Now there's, like, animosity almost.
Yeah.
It's almost like... antagonistic dealings. I never liked that in the business.
No, well.
I never liked that. And then, you know, the caveat here is 90% of the guys you deal with
are great. Yeah, absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
But every now and then, just those people, they make it hard.
Right.
You know, they make you... You know, like collecting, it's not all roses collecting. You have to deal with some rough and tumble
customers
in your collecting journey.
Yeah.
And you can make 2 choices. You can just say, okay, you know, I'm tired. I don't want to deal with this. It's almost like a cold call. You
right.
say, no, thank you. I'm not interested. And you kind of hang up.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
You try to be polite because they're all trying to make a living. But
have you ever been at a show where someone came up to you and like pulled out like a stack of books? And you know they're like, hey, you know what? I'm trying to buy these from you, but I want them like, you know, I want to trade you, and then the trading begins, and it's
yeah.
even worse.
Yeah,
right?
It gets worse. Yeah, and you kind of feel it right away. And I'm not talking about at all about people that just want too much.
Right.
That's not it at all. There are people that have good stuff, and you know, and they know I want it. It might be for my personal collection, but they're just, you know, they want a lot, maybe a little bit more than I want to pay.
Right.
But it's very cordial. It's understanding.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then there's just those confrontational...
Aggressive guys
yeah. that you have to deal with in the hobby to try to get your books.
Right.
Especially if you're really trying to get your books.
Sure.
If you're trying to get your books and trying to fill in your runs,
yeah.
you have to deal with so many different types of
people. Oh, yeah.
And sometimes people are kind of... polite,
yeah,
and they get kind of strong-armed into spending more than they want to spend. Believe it or not,
oh yeah,
it
I believe
sounds
it.
Hard
yeah.
to,
yeah, it's true.
Because you know, at the end of the day, you're, but it's almost like, whoa,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
whoa, you got you backed into a corner with
sure.
just accosting you with how great this thing is and how you have to buy it and how you know he'll go. It's like, oh,
yeah.
So, I would say that you know, in my collecting journey, there has been. You know, multiple amount of times where it's like dealing with other people isn't always easy.
Right.
But you have to put up with it
sure.
to get what you want.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah. Now, a lot of the pet peeves that I have are not necessarily about the collectability, like the business aspect. It's more of the publishing aspect of it.
Right.
So, for example, there's too many crossovers in reading. So, you know, and
isn't that a good thing if you're a collector? Don't you want more?
No. No, because, you know,
I guess more to a degree, but...
To a degree.
Yeah,
And the way it's done is that sometimes...
Like Civil War with the 82 different
crossovers. Like, you know, I mean, if I have a book that I want to read about, you know, like, let's say, you know, I'm collecting... I guess the nearest example is the King in Black storyline that recently happened with Marvel.
Yeah.
You know, they push it, like, they talk about it they for months and months ahead of time, and then you got to get the prequel to this and the prequel to that, and then all of a sudden there's the King in Black storyline itself, but then that's going to cross over in Venom and in Spider-Man and all these other things.
Right.
And what if I don't collect all those other things, right?
Yeah.
What if, and so, I don't know, it's a bit of a...
But don't they usually make the core story... independent reading and...
Well, sometimes they do and sometimes they don't.
Right.
So, now, I don't know, I guess. But it's something that started, I mean, I think way back in, like, Crisis on Infinite Earths and Secret Wars 2.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, ages and ages ago now. But it's just something that's really... It gets under my skin.
Yeah. I think Marvel was trying that in the 80s or is it 90s with Atlantis Attacks.
Oh, they did that. Well, but the thing with that, at least... They used to do those during their annuals.
Right.
So they would have an annual, when all their annuals would come out, like three or four of them would be one story.
Right.
So Atlantis Attacks would be the annual that, you know, under, say, Incredible Hulk and, I don't know, Submariner or something like that. Yeah. You know, then the Spider-Man would have its own little storyline.
Uh-huh.
And that would be pretty much it. But then you get these ones where they're just all-encompassing and everything. And, you know, and then you get the King in Black... You know, cover for that particular issue as well.
Right.
It's just too much. It's too much.
Okay.
It's overwhelming.
I agree. We can do a little bit less of that. And you can be say no with your dollar.
Well, and I do. Yeah. I do. Okay. Right. It's
One of my pet peeves. I think it's a lot of pet peeves, and I'm going to say this. I have not been able in the 40 years of collecting plus that I've been collecting comics plus. I have not figured out my standardization of my storage.
What do you mean?
I have not. I don't know where to put my comics. They're always in the way at home.
Oh, I see.
Always.
Yeah.
I have not. Like, I've lived at the house I live in now for 16 years.
Right.
I think my comics have been... They're always in the way. Then I move them to another spot. And then 2 years later, I have to fix that spot. And they're always in the way. And
that's,
it's like...
That's a good problem, though.
No, it's not. You need a dedicated... You need a man den. You need a dedicated thing. But it goes further. I haven't been... Like, I'll go through phases.
Okay.
My late twos... And 56-point boards.
Right.
I go hog wild and I buy a bunch and I do all my good stuff in it.
Right.
But then I get tired, Chris, because I get bored after about 42 books. So then a year later or 6 months later when I got to revisit these.
Yeah.
Then I'm now on I don't know, My Light 3s and Golden Age boards.
Oh, man.
Right? And two boards at once.
Yeah.
Right? Because for extra protection. And then I put it in with the other ones. And then
they don't match.
They don't match. And then I hate that. And then I go, oh. And it's always like, I've never been able to standardize and pick.
Yeah.
Okay. For every single one of my comics that I like, that, you know, doesn't really matter the value.
Yeah.
It could be a $5 book. It could be a $100 book. I'm going to treat them all like I love them.
Yeah.
And put them in this bag and in this board.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have a dedicated spot for them where I can go.
Yeah.
Some of them can be displayed.
Yeah.
I've never, ever been able to.
Why don't you do
I
that?
I don't know. That's my point. I don't know.
Okay, but that's not really
storage has always been an issue.
That's more of a personal thing than
a... I don't know. I bet you half the guys listening have issues with storage, what to do with bag and board, how to, like, well, what do you, you know, do you, and when you decide, do you just, you know, the other bags and boards you just did a year ago, they're fine, but you end up doing them all over
again because now
you're on a new tangent, right?
Well,
a new tear.
I finally decided to re-bag and board all my comics.
Every one of them.
Every one of them.
And you got through all the way?
I got through all the way.
Wow.
The only ones that didn't get done are the ones that I have bought within the last couple of years. Because they're all in brand new bags and boards anyways.
They're those flimsy boards. They're those giveaway boards at the comic shops. Those cheap comic shops use.
You're right. But what I've been doing now lately is replacing the board. So the bag is still good.
Right.
But I probably will replace everything soon. But I actually went back and I replaced everything with Silver Age Mylights or Silver Age bags,
right?
And 28-point boards. Now, if it was a really good book, I did get some 56 points,
right?
Or I might have just used 2 28-point boards.
Okay.
So I went through. Oh, and you know what? For me, it just became something that I just do at the end of the night. So
so storage for you isn't a problem.
I have a man den, though. I have a man den.
I like that.
I gave myself a dedicated man den.
Okay.
You know, and I splurged, and I had a carpenter make me built-in drawers for my comics. Now I'm way spilling. I could have 2 of what I bought.
Right.
Yeah. I'm way spilling over now.
Right.
Yeah. You know, the rest go in the closet.
Yeah.
So
okay, then you're a little bit ahead of mine. I've always, through my history, had an issue with how I'm going to bag, how I'm going to board them. I've never had all of them standardized.
It looks so good when it's all the same.
I know, it's beautiful. Man, it's beautiful. My God.
You just want to, like, you know.
Hey, you know, if you're like me, like if you're you sent some books down to CGC, so I have some CGC boxes.
Yep.
You know, and. And every now and then you'll get that one dumb Golden Age one that's just like a millimeter too wide, and they give it into that magazine holder.
Right.
And I hate it. I almost want to sell it.
Yeah.
Because it can't go in with the other one in the CGC box. Yeah. And then you got to hold it somewhere else. And it's, you know, as you're leafing through, it's never there.
Well, that's a whole other issue is magazine boxes. Because, I mean, I have a box of magazines.
Right. I'm talking about the CGC graded.
I'm just saying. Yeah. But I mean, because I can't put my comic boxes with my magazine box.
Right.
Because my magazine box doesn't fit.
Exactly.
So it's the same idea, but just to talk about CGC.
Right. Right. Okay. So for me, storage has definitely always been an issue, always been something that I never standardized. And I never really, it was always something, it was a chore.
So you need to spend some money and get a carpenter in there and build some wall-built drawers.
How's that guy did it work for you?
He's good.
He's much too expensive.
Much too important to be captured.
All right. What do you got?
All right. Again, this is more of a publishing thing. Too many restarts.
Oh, remember in the mid-teens?
Yeah.
12, 13, 14, 15, 16. How many times did Spidey restart?
Oh, man.
How many number ones were there?
So basically what I'm talking about is too many volumes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, I get it. I get that you need to do it once in a while. But, I mean, the first big one was, you know, for DC occurred in, like, the early, mid-80s with the Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yeah.
But then they've done it.
Well, DC really, 1987 was the year that most of their titles that kind of survived the Wortham Comics Code.
Not 87, 67.
No, 87.
Okay. Oh, I see what you're saying.
87, the relaunch, the number ones of Superman, the number one of Flash, the number one of Wonder Woman. It was all around 87, after Crisis.
Right, yes.
So these are titles that were already almost 50 years old.
Yeah.
47, 48, 49 years old.
Yep.
They basically stopped and started. Well, they didn't stop, but I think they did stop.
I think they did stop, yeah.
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 And then they started.
Yep. They all stopped.
Yeah.
Everything was number one. Flash was number one.
And I think Marvel did that in 96 with Heroes Reborn.
Yeah.
And that up until then was like, okay, you know, that's like once every half century.
Sure, which I get, huge, I understand that.
Huge seismic event in the industry. But then it became once every 12 months.
Then DC had the Flashpoint and then Rebirth and then the New 52 and like.
But I would say DC out of the two was like the, And this only really affected the long-term committed comic people. They were the most unfair to their fan base in terms of what they put them through.
Right.
With, okay, we're redoing this. Okay, we're wiping out the history. Okay, we're redoing the history. Okay, we're going back to not wiping out the history.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You got to be a really resilient fan to put up with that.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
So,
I mean, Marvel isn't as bad.
Right.
They're not as bad with the restarting of the comic lines.
Right.
But Marvel is, I would say, is probably worse in a sense of just randomly stopping a particular title.
Right, and starting a new title to get a number one sales.
To get a number one, yeah. So that's a big pet peeve of mine. I still don't understand why they do it. I mean, I do. It's for number one sales, and it's for, you know, jumping on points for new collectors.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't know, Kim. I don't know about you, but when you first start, I mean, you obviously didn't start collecting Batman edition number one.
No.
Right? Yeah. So you dove into one particular issue, and that's where you started reading.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And I don't know. See, this is where my problem lies. I don't know if it's a problem with the reader that they can't, they don't have they don't understand how to jump into a comic, or I don't know if it's the writing that's not being written so that people can jump into a comic at any given one point.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know either, but my history of collecting, really, I've never been a slave to a character. I've always been exploratory in terms of, hey, these guys are writing really good stories over on Daredevil. This Miller kid, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, or oh, hey, Moore's doing a hell of a job over here, or King and so on are doing a great job on Batman.
Yeah.
Or so I would go to those. Like, I would go and find those arcs and those story runs and not read Spidey if I'm not into them.
Right.
I would kind of, so I don't know. So I'll go. Is it me now?
Yeah, it's you, yeah.
Okay, so this is a stressful one, and it's part of collecting, and it's part of something that we all go through, and it's part of something you look like you're going to have to go through, and it's something that, excuse me, this bomber was a little bombs away there.
Bombs away.
gunner to whatever. You know what? I had a germ of a joke there, but then it just fell out the bomb hole.
But it bombed?
Yeah, but it bombed.
Culling
is such a stressful part of collecting. Yeah. So I was, I got this thing in the works this July coming, July 1st, Canada Day is July 1st. So sometime in mid-June, I want to do this really large auction for Canadiana collectibles.
Okay, yeah.
On our eBay auction thing. So I'm canvassing the people that I know that have a lot of Canadian whites.
Right.
That have some Captain Canuck stuff, that have some just Canadiana collectibles. It doesn't even have to be comics. It has to be just comic related. Right?
Yep.
And we're going to have a really big, sometime in June, the people, there's a group promoting 80 years of Canadian whites this year.
Okay, yeah.
And I want to peg a bunch of stuff that I'm donating, and I hope a bunch of stuff other people are donating, where all the proceeds of that particular book will go to that organization to fund their research
that,
whatever. You know, and Ivan Kaczmarek is part of that, so I love whatever he does, so I want to participate in that. So I'm downstairs, and I got a pretty good Canadian whites collection.
Right.
I got some super high-end stuff, and I got some okay stuff, and then I got some not-so-okay stuff.
Right.
So I'm going, okay, I got like slabs.
Sure.
Okay, I got about 106 slabs.
Wow.
Yeah, of Canadian whites.
That's a lot.
Yeah. So I'm going to go, okay, I'm gonna find six.
Right.
Okay? And I'm going through it, and I'm going, I can't give this one up. That might be worth $150, Chris.
Yeah. You
know, $80. I don't know what it's worth. It's like, no, I can't not. Like, okay. And then you go back, and then you go through every single box, and you haven't pulled one book out.
I know.
I didn't pull one book out, so I had to go back, and I put three. I go, okay, I'm going to, okay. Yeah, and then you kind of, and then you put one back, and then you put it back after, and then you, so it, like, when it's time to pare off the collection a little bit.
Yeah.
I was never good at that.
You know what?
It's in my PC, I usually like it.
Right.
Yeah. You know? So
I did that. a couple years ago.
Uh-huh.
I got rid of about 5 long boxes of raw books.
So how did you pick?
I had a lot of doubles. I had a lot more doubles than
so
I thought.
So did you look at the mintier one?
I've always kept the mintier one.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice. I like
that. Now, however, having said that, I also went through and looked at books and thought, you know what? This story was crap. I'm never going to read this again. Uh-huh. And I didn't really like it that much. So I'm going to get rid of it. Big mistake there, because I didn't realize that there was all kinds of first appearances that I got rid of.
Sure.
That I literally gave away. Like, kids on, like, we had a garage sale, and kids are coming up, like, here, have some comic books, you know, there you go. They're gone. First appearance of this major character, first appearance of that major character, didn't realize it, you know.
Man.
So, whatever.
Yeah.
So, I've decided now I'm no longer culling. I'm not culling it ever
again.
Just buying a bigger house.
Building a garage.
Yeah.
That's always stressful. That's not a fun part of collecting, because it's a natural part of collecting, though. It's a residual of collecting. What do you call it? Whatever it is. It just comes with collecting that you have to think. Sometimes it's easy.
Yeah, it's easy. When I was doing my doubles, I had bought collections, and so, you know, there's two things here. So, I finally decided to catalog all my comics as well.
Ooh.
Okay.
That's another thing I hated trying to do, by the way.
I finally cataloged them. Uh-huh. Now, I got an app.
Yeah.
Which made it way easier. Because back in the old days, you'd have to, like, you know, get up. First of all, you have to sort them all.
Sure.
Right? And you have to sort them all. And then you have to get up the piece of paper and the pen.
Or then you graduated to an Excel spreadsheet.
Exactly.
And then you realized about 89 or 140 comics in that you wanted to do another detail of what you want. Like, you wanted to insert another column for, I don't know what.
Artist or something.
Yeah, and then you go, oh, crap. Now I got to go back and do this.
Go back and redo it.
Oh.
So luckily, a lot of that stuff is all done now. So I use an app. I use this one called CLZ, which is like Collector Comic Base or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Makes it really easy because it has you know, whatever, 100,000 comics on there or whatever it is. And you just type in the one that you at, and then, 151, 52, 53, 54. It's just a checkbox, right? So tick, 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 and you're done.
Yeah.
Right? Save.
Yeah.
So it makes it super easy. But what I was doing, so as I was going through this, I realized that as I'm collecting them, I've realized that I really know what I like in a comic book cover, because I'll find one and then a few boxes later I'll find that same book.
Right.
And I'll find it again later in the same book. I'll have like 4 or 5 of the exact same book.
Yeah,
I'm like, I must really like that cover.
Right. Because subconsciously you're picking one up at every show.
Right. Because I'm like, I like that cover.
I like that cover.
But, you know, 10 years goes by and we've been doing this long enough.
Yeah.
So 40 years later and, you know, you've picked up the same book 4 or 5 times.
All right.
So, okay. Having said that,
yep.
Had a lot of doubles, which made it easy to cull.
Right. Yeah. But it's still a tough part of the hobby.
It is.
It's a tough decision-making process that you, like you say, you usually end up ruining.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Ruin the
day. What else you got?
What else do I got here? That's pretty much it for my real disdain for comics.
Right.
I mean, you know, the prices for a new book is unfortunate. Like, you know, $3.99 or $4.99 for the cardstock variants is getting to be too much money. But
do you like the general population liking what you do, or did you like the exclusivity of having that secret club of comic collecting?
You know what?
30 years ago.
It's a great question.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want it to be like it was 30 years ago.
Right.
But I liked it when it was around 20 years ago.
Right.
When it didn't explode the way it is now.
Right.
But there's still, when you go to a show, it was big enough for a lot, you'd have lots of variety.
Right.
Like, I remember going to, well, maybe not even 30 years, maybe 40 years ago. 40 years ago was no good because those were like the hotel, you know, ballroom shows.
Mm-hmm.
You'd go to one of those and there wouldn't be that many dealers, and you'd get the guy selling records and the guy selling baseball cards and a bunch selling stuff that really you had no interest in. There may be 5 guys selling comics. 30
selling
years
burgers.
Ago. Yeah. What's that?
Five Guys.
Little Five Guys burgers, yeah. But then you get, yeah, good one. Then you get, but I remember going to like the Chicago Comic Con in 1990, and that was a big show. That was fun.
Yeah.
So like 30 years ago.
Sorry, cut you off. Yeah. I remember one, I was at a Chicago Comic Con. It might have been 90. I remember they had this kind of a ballroom off to the side, and they had a massive auction.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and they had all the stuff in there that was going to go up on that auction.
Yep.
And I think they auctioned them off there.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure.
In Chicago?
At Chicago.
I think that's,
And I don't know who the auction house was. Would that have been Heritage in 1990?
No, well, not necessarily, because I remember at one of those Chicago cons, I went to their auction, and usually that was just like an in-house auction that people were donating stuff.
Right. Yeah.
So it wasn't held by like a Heritage. It was just, they were just doing it on their own.
Right.
And they would donate the money to like a Sick Kids or something like that.
Right. Right.
Because that's where I got my my Sal Buscema Spidey page.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember art. Yeah. I remember there was art there.
And, yeah.
I remember it's like, oh my God. I forget. Believe it or not, I forget. Any detail. I couldn't name you one item, but I remember they were all amazing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. Okay, let's bring it around near the front, Chris. So...
Well, hold on. Would you prefer... Are you happy with the way things are now? Are you happy
That's what I want. I want to kind of just have an overview. Collecting is easier now. I mean, it's online.
Yeah.
I would say that, you know, grabbing something is A, easier.
Oh, yeah.
B, safer.
Yep.
But C, more expensive.
Way more expensive.
Right? But I won't knock the way things are right now, other than price, right?
Yep.
But, you know, I mean, listen, when I was young and starting up, I mean, I couldn't collect the action run. I didn't have the money.
Right, right.
And so these kids today are not going to collect the Amazing Spider-Man run.
You're right.
They don't have the money.
You're right. Right? You're right.
And that's just par for the course.
Yeah,
And believe it or not, the kids not born yet that go come into it, they may not collect the She-Hulk run.
Yeah, true enough.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, because it may be too much money. So, yeah. I mean, that's all kind of in the process. Like, you know, that's all time does its thing there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, generally it's a good time to collect, I would say. Like I said, it's safer to collect now. You have a lot of market checks.
Yeah.
Right? You have a lot more competition. You have a lot more avenues to get your stuff. Those are all good things.
A lot of great stories out there.
A lot of great stories for readers and stuff like that. And just so much... how can I say it? So much choice.
Right now,
right? But I don't know. Collecting still, like I said, I think we touched on maybe the main points, but overall, there's way more pluses than minuses to come.
Oh, for sure, right? For sure. So you know what? I think we should invite our readers to, or our readers, our listeners rather, to chime in. Let us know.
Yeah, what are their pet peeves?
What are your pet peeves about the comic industry?
What I won't say hate about collecting comics. Yeah, but what's hard about collecting comics? You know, what do you have to put up with to collect comics?
And I don't want to hear any jokes about their spouses.
They're right. Wives or husbands or something like that. Or the dog.
Yeah.
Or something. But we would love comicbookdaily.com. Scroll down into the comments field and let us know what you think.
Yeah. And have yourself a great day.
See you next week.